You better listen to a sermon by Apostle Aramel Tsai. Apostle Aramel Tsai is the founder of Remnant Christian Network based in Makati, Benue State, Nigeria. We strive for the rebirth of apostolic Christianity.
I want to read to us a brief. This brief that I intend to read is an encapsulation of the purpose of God running through the entire scripture. It's a brief. Hallelujah. And I'll give you scriptural references that you can take note of as I read the brief. Now, so this is the preamble. After the created race of Adam failed God in the matter of the kingdom. Now, what is wrong with... Don't take away my volume. After the created race of Adam failed God in the matter of the kingdom, God chose the race of Abraham, the great nation spoken of in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, as a kingdom. See, God's intention from the beginning has been a kingdom, to establish his kingdom in the midst of the earth, and the agency through which that kingdom is to be established is the personality called man. So he tried to establish his kingdom through Adam. That did not quite succeed. Then he chose the race of Abraham, and the intention was that he should establish a great nation. It was within this crucible that his kingdom dream was yet going to come to pass. After God called Abraham, his descendants became the children of Israel as the kingdom of God. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. You can verify that in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Can somebody read out Exodus 19, verse 6 to us quickly? Exodus 19, verse 6. Because anything, any major issue that we are saying God is involved with must have a bearing on the kingdom. If it doesn't have a bearing on the kingdom, that matter is a trivial matter. Because what God is running is a kingdom. And he shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. That's Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, a kingdom of priests. And in that nation, God exercised his authority. Eventually, however, Israel failed God and the kingdom was taken from them. Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. Israel also failed God. The kingdom was withdrawn. Who is there with me in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43? Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You see, God has been attempting to establish his kingdom all through scripture. Even Israel failed God in this matter. The Gospels speak many times of the kingdom. The Acts and the Epistles continue in this line. We have a modicum of scriptures to support that. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Acts chapter 19, verse 8, Acts chapter 28, verse 31, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. You will see the trend, and the subject has always been the kingdom. Eventually, Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 declares that at the time of the Lord's coming back, the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. In the millennium, the Lord will rule as a king with all his victorious saints. Revelation chapter 20 verse 4 and verse 6. And eventually God will have a kingdom in which he will exercise the full scope of his authority to the fullest extent as the accomplishment of his eternal purpose. That means God's project, God's intention never shifted. God was still on course. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So eventually God is going to still have his kingdom. So what he was trying to pioneer with Adam was still going to come to pass. It will still come to pass, irrespective of who became president of Nigeria, who became president of the United States, who did this, who did not do this, who did not fulfill his calling. All of that will be immaterial. God will still fulfill his dream. Now, so the subject of grace, just like we saw, is grace is required in order for us to participate in that kingdom effectively. If we, you know, when you are doing, establishing a theological argument, you don't use implied scriptures, you use clear scriptures. It's not as if we don't have types and shadows in the Old Testament that actually reveal the subject of grace, even from the book of Genesis. It's not as if we don't have that. But if you are doing a theological argument, you need to bring black and white, not implied that this one means this. No, it should be black and white. But now that we have been able to establish a little of the black and white, you'll find out that in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. All right? And, you know, God did not forbid man from partaking of the tree of life. He didn't forbid him. It was one of the options that was available to him. He only forbade man from partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are you still with me? Now, if man had eaten of the tree of life, you see, the part of the tree of life man will eat is the fruit of life. Man was not born again. Man was innocent. He was not righteous. The nature of God was captured in that tree of life. If he had eaten of that, he would have had the life of God. So his creation was not complete. He would need to make a choice as to the lines of operating system he will work with. Unfortunately, he decided not to choose that. Now, if you have eaten of that, he would have had grace to function as man. You see? But he ate of something else. And all of what happened, happened. If we go into the chapter of the eternal purpose, you are going to see the intention that God had in mind. The chapter of the eternal purpose is clearly revealed in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Whereas, however, I will not spend much time there because we have a long way to go. Very long way to go. Not spend so much time in that scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, you have a glimpse of what God had in mind. Now, why are we referring to Ephesians? Paul went on honeymoon, Now, you guys should stop manipulating my... You get it, then you stop manipulating. All right. Now, Paul went on... You see, there's a problem. You have done something. But leave it. So, Paul went on honeymoon after he gave his life to Christ. He went on honeymoon in the wilderness of Arabia. He had encounters with God. There were numerous assortments of encounters that he secured from God. And subsequently, his prayer point was that the church should labor with him for him to have utterance to communicate the things that he had seen. His spirit knew them but he did not have the capacity to communicate them because he had not received utterance, which is spirit-energized communication that relates the heart of God to the heart of man. He had not received that enablement yet. It's a peculiar disposition of grace to communicate the mind of God. It was in the days of, in the book of Ephesians, that we saw that he had received that grace and he was communicating at that level. Now, the book is a deep book. Hallelujah. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to pick one factor, one thing. If I pick that thing, then we'll get back to where we stopped yesterday. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh. Hallelujah. All right, let's bring a few things into focus in this scripture, because this man is talking deep now, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, we are going to do some permutation. The Bible says that God had predestinated us according to the... He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. So God's fundamental intent that was the driving force, the motivation behind creation. If you have studied your Bible, you will realize that God created everything to give him pleasure. Right? So the idea of creation was that God wanted pleasure. He had dwelt in the circle of himself in eternity past, in an unbroken circle of love, in a balanced state of existence, and he doesn't need anything to add to the sense of his being. And then suddenly he stumbled upon a desire. And the desire that he stumbled upon was his desire to extend the circle of his love. Hallelujah. To extend that circle of his love which he had enjoyed in himself all this while. You will notice that one of God's characteristic nature is love. So he is looking for people to share that state of tranquility, that state of blessedness that he has enjoyed in himself all this while with. Meanwhile, you see, if such a desire will be satisfied, it will give him pleasure of heart. So the project of creation was an adventure to accomplish the satisfaction of the pleasure on the heart of God. Hallelujah. Concerning man within the crucible of the vast landscape of creation, he desired that man will be a son to him. So he was desperate to also have creatures that can be his children, because the Bible says that he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And the reason why Jesus Christ becomes the administrative infrastructure by which he achieves his desire to have sons and his desire for sonship is because Jesus happens to be the pattern son, the example of what a son should be. Now, you see, the sons we are talking about here are not sons that are without reference. The reference for sonship in this context is who? Hallelujah. Now, you see, hallelujah. Oh, the reason why I read the brief to you, is that God's plan has not changed. The plan he had before is still what is running now. So even when he created Adam for Adam to have a reference, for Adam to be one of his sons. Right? But don't forget, the blueprint for sonship is who? And that was why Adam, apart from eating from the tree of life, cannot attain to that status. The tree of life will be a necessary meal that Adam will have to eat in order for him to be a son that is conformed to the image of the pattern son. Unfortunately, that project did not work out with Adam, but the project did not change. Are you with me? It didn't change. So the Bible says that by in keeping with this desire that God has, he decided to exercise his sovereign authority. Hallelujah. There were numerous assortments of possibilities, but the Bible reveals that he chose you. He has chosen us. Now, is it choice? It's an act of his own will. Have you seen that? According, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, and this is the exercise of this choice was done before the foundations of the world. It means that there were a lot of immortal matters that were set in motion through ordinations before time began. Right? One of those matters is that God, the Bible says, whom that he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate. Now this took place before time began. He foreknew you, and then he predestinated you. And those that he predestinated, them he also called. And those he called, them he also justified. And those he justified, them he also. Now what is, he is foreknowing you, he is predestinating you, he is calling you. All of these things took place in eternity past. It's your justification that took place in time. Now, so if we are talking about this subject, we need to do the broad stroke so that you can see the picture very, very clearly. He foreknew you. He what? He predestinated you. He called you. All of that took place before time began. And then he came to time and then justified you. And after justifying you in time, he now wants to glorify you in eternity future. Because you cannot be glorified in this frame of reference. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The life of God that is in your spirit has a vessel that is tabernacled in the heavens, which is the accurate suit that can carry it. This one will groan. This one will be burdened. If your spirit begins to desire the things of God and begins to drive you, many times, we have gone for crusade before. When we came back, we had knee problem, waist problem. This is, we were driving on the body of the Lord. And this body began to suffer because of the drive that came from the body of the Lord. Meanwhile, there is a body that is suitable for that capacity. It is domiciled in the heavens. Now, it is so the purpose of God, it is when we actually inherit glory that the full context of what God intends to do will now become visible. Are you with me? Now, you cannot inherit glory in this frame of reference. Even though you have received glory, but the full measure of glory that you are supposed to carry, that God intends you to carry, in order for him to have achieved what he intended with you as a desire which is sustained, which is a desire for sons, it will happen ultimately in glorification. Hallelujah. And it happens to be that Jesus is the example that mortality, humankind can inherit glory. Jesus is that. Because Jesus is in heaven as a man, not as a spirit. Because the Bible says that there's only one mediator between God and man, and he called him the man Christ, Jesus. So he's in heaven as a man, indicative of the fact that humanity can inherit glory. All of these stringent protocols that God put in place is because he wanted every one of us to be a son that is conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Is that clear? All right. I need to show you something. In order for God to fulfill this his intent that he has in view, he had to provide some form of energy for humankind to ride upon, in order for humankind to be able to operate on the status of his own mode of civilization. So let's see it again in the eternal purpose chapter. Now, I need to read verse 5 and verse 6 and explain verse 6 so that you see the progression. Hallelujah. The Bible says, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It means that, are you with me? The way God intended to achieve what he wanted to achieve concerning us was by Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ happens to be the one that occupies the seat of the administrator of the intents that God has in mind. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You see, when there was need for salvation, it was Jesus that came and paid for it. So when you believe that payment, the effect of the payment is applied to you. You know the implication of that? The way you can realize your life and your destiny is by allegiance to Jesus, because he's the one that paid. Oh, those are protocols that God put in place such that we cannot escape submitting to the authority of Jesus. He's the author of salvation. He's the head of the church. Everything we are part of, he's the chieftain of it. Because it is God's intent that everything in creation should submit under the authority of Christ, being the administrator of the purposes of God. Are you with me? So the vision, our goal in our calling, in our pilgrimage, is to, from God's perspective, is to achieve Christ-likeness. Now, he called you to be an evangelist, put you on that path of being an evangelist. You are going to encounter a lot of challenges, the stretch of faith to fulfill his will, but unknown to you as you are walking on that path. That's the unique path that God has ordained for you to attain Christ-likeness, because it is his spirit that is inside of you. If you buy Honda, remove the engine, put Peugeot, the performance of that car, even though it has Honda body, is Peugeot performance. He puts his spirit inside of you with the hope that eventually, as you mature and you begin to lean on his spirit, he will be the one that will be manifested through your life. So that's the objective. That's the goal. And that possibility became so because God installed him as the administrative personality through which we can find fullness. So the Father was able to achieve his vision for sonship through what? Jesus Christ, the administrator. Don't forget that. The most important personality we will have to interface with. Eh? His name is called Jesus. If you understand the charter of the divine purpose. He is the goal. He is our unique goal. We want to apprehend him. We want to fulfill his purposes. We want to satisfy him. That's the goal for living, is to live up to the expectations of the chieftain called Jesus. That's the goal of the Christian, not to make money, not to... In the process, God allocates divine purposes to us, he makes resources available, right, consistent with a level of delivery on these purposes. So financial resources are made available, material resources are made available, to the extent to which we are found, we have become resourceful in the kingdom. Hallelujah. So when you find a man that is looming in finances and is still humble to follow God, that man, his resources came from God. Everything that we do is supposed to be to give him glory, to satisfy him, because it was on the account of his sacrifice that we even have a place in this realm in the first place. And that was deliberately put in place. If you read the book of Colossians, you will find out that God intended in the first place to make Jesus preeminent So everything, the structure of the acquisition of salvation, the structure of the layout of the body of Christ was designed in such a way that Christ of necessity must become preeminent. That's the plan. Are you with me? Now, verse 6, which I say is a scripture I really want to explain to connect us back to our subject matter, is the fuel, the resources that God made available in order to ensure that we achieve this His divine purpose. To the grace and the praise and the glory of His grace. You see, all of these systems have been put in place to exalt grace, to the praise of grace, to the glory of grace. So the operating system, the power, the energy that we operate on in keeping with this grand plan that God has is called grace. Let's go back to our study. So in all of this, the only way we can attain to becoming the kind of sons that God expects us to be, for which He predestinated us, for which He chose us, for which He separated us, for which He ordained us, for which He justified us, the only way we can attain to the kind of sons that God actually has in mind is by grace. So if we are going to function in the kingdom, it will be by grace. So if Adam had eaten the tree of life, he would have access to grace. There is no way we can function in the kingdom without grace. So grace has always been the plan that God had, the ability that God will release in order for us to be able to live up to His own standard and His own expectation. Now, I stopped at question 2. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So there is no other way it can happen. It can only happen by grace. Now, in scripture, you know, the gospel is good news. Glory to God. Are you still with me? The gospel is good news. And there are actually 10 levels of good news in the Bible. The first level is what we call the good news concerning salvation. Good news concerning salvation. The second level is good news concerning victorious living. Good news concerning victorious living. The good news concerning salvation is how that Jesus has fulfilled the claims of divine justice, and that through faith we can be gathered back, recovered back from the state that we were placed in on the account of the error of Adam. That's the good news concerning salvation. Jesus has come to provide cure to the ailment of the original sin. The good news concerning victorious living is that if we partner, if we take the Spirit of God as our energy system, we have the capacity to live above situations, circumstances, demons, flesh, world. Everything that is thrown at us has no capacity to undo the investment of Spirit presence that is part and parcel of our new scope of life in the covenant of God. Hallelujah. Victorious living. We can pick scriptures like Romans chapter 8 verse 26. He said that the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. If we learn how to lean and to live by the Spirit of God, we'll find ourselves victorious over circumstances, situations, over demons, over Satan, over the flesh, over lust, over the world system. That's the good news concerning victorious living. The gospel of prosperity, the good news concerning prosperity. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Good news concerning prosperity. You will notice that God revealed Himself to it was an encounter that Moses had. Moses had an encounter with God in the book of Exodus chapter 6. And he came to reveal another side of God. The revelations of God in old times, in the old covenants, were captured in names. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, that is because every revelation of God that was captured in the Old Testament was encapsulated in names. If God comes today and God heals, you will call him Ralpha. So we tie that manifestation to a name, Ralpha. If God provides, we'll call him... You understand what I'm talking about? So they were tied to names. And when God came to Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 6, he came to Moses and he said that your ancestors, they knew me as El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, they were not too acquainted with. Now, so it took three generations for God to establish the concept of El Shaddai. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew him as the El Shaddai. Hallelujah. And as the El Shaddai means the strong and the breasted one, the one that sustains all, and is sustained by none. Hallelujah. Now, Abraham's challenge was that his wife was barren. And the El Shaddai gave him a child. Isaac's challenge was that he was in contention with a monarch. And the monarch did everything possible to ensure that he doesn't have a source of livelihood. And it came to pass that the only option that was available to him was to sow in dry season. So, and Isaac sowed in dry season. And in the same year, he reaped an hundredfold, and the Philistines envied him. It was the covenant that made his barn to become full, even though the circumstances that will support agriculture were not in place. Are you still with me? Thirdly, Jacob's challenge for which he needed the El Shaddai was that he was broke. He ran from whom? How did he run? He ran broke. In fact, he negotiated his salvation. He said, if by any means you can put clothing on my back, you give me food to eat, and you bring me back again, then I will consider you as my God. I know my father served you, but I want this thing. I want us to deliberate upon these matters, if you have the capacity to deliver. Now, so that was the El Shaddai. The doctrine of prosperity is tied to God, the El Shaddai. Exactly. Now let me stop there. Have you read your Bible? You say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You will notice that as the El Shaddai, he gave them directives. There were directives that they followed. He is your El Shaddai when he can direct you. He can lead you. He can guide you. Are you with me? Now, most of us do not even have the faith in God enough to trust him. And I can prove it to you. We come to church, but we have not yet. You see, it took three generations for him to establish the legacy of El Shaddai among the people of Israel. Why stay with me? Now, if God has never in your life asked you to give your money before, you don't know him as El Shaddai. You know, he commands you in other areas, night vigil, stand up, pray. But he cannot direct you to commit financial substance. Forget about it. You don't have El Shaddai. You don't know him as El Shaddai. You see, it is possible for you to know him as the God of power and not know him as El Shaddai. Hallelujah. If he has never given you such an instruction, you never heard that before in your life. Never heard that. Because there are principles that you need to adopt in order for you to receive the help from El Shaddai. Right? One of the principles that you need to adopt is, first of all, to acknowledge your inadequacy. You see, the El Shaddai means the strong and the breasted one, the one that sustains all and is sustained by none. So you need to acknowledge your inadequacy, not just in your spiritual life. You are inadequate everywhere. Are you with me? You are here. Right. So you are inadequate. You see, you look fine, you look calculated, you look wonderful. I'm talking about you. You look brilliant, you look sharp. But don't be deceived by how you look in the mirror. You are inadequate. Hallelujah. You are inadequate. Now, so if you know that you are inadequate, the next thing that your knowledge of your inadequacy will do to you is that it will make you a victim of the need to pray. This is the man seeking the El Shaddai. Okay, let's stop there. There are seven things you need to do. If it is El Shaddai, we drew it from the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These seven matters. So there is good news concerning prosperity, that you can do well. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. All grace. All kinds of grace. There are different kinds of grace. And God is able. So we don't have a challenge with God's ability to make all grace abound. The challenge is the fact that God has all grace doesn't mean that all grace will be available to you. But the Bible says God is able. His ability is not in doubt to make all grace abound. What does all grace do? What does it do? The Bible says, so that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every. That's El Shaddai. El Shaddai. So there are different kinds of graces. When you begin to pray like that, it means it is true that you understand that you are inadequate. Huh? When you labor like that, then something begins to happen. The result of praying like that makes the Holy Spirit a person that is in your heart, a personality to obey. Just like you find Abraham, they say, go and kill your son. Because he has been doing business with him in priesthood and prayer intercourses, such that the authority of the Spirit of God has been set on his hand. So when God now says, do this, he knows that that action is for his own good, for his own all-round goodness. So he will go and do it. It's okay, don't kill again. You know, you are the one that is all-sufficient. You say the agenda now is don't kill again. All right, no problem. Then God begins to make promises. He begins to give directives. So, and through his life becomes an evidence that the God he served is more than enough, that has the capacity to sustain all, even though he himself is sustained by none. How has your walk with God been? Because if you are here today and there is no evidence you are saved, so you it means you have accepted the good news concerning salvation. Glory to God. We need to celebrate that. But you see, not many people are victorious. So you are saved but not victorious. Meanwhile, that gospel exists. That good news exists. It's obvious that you may not have accepted that good news. Hallelujah. You may not have accepted the good news of victorious living. It also may be possible that you have not accepted the good news concerning sufficiency, prosperity. And good news concerning prosperity is tied to your being led by the Spirit of God. All the prosperity messages you heard, they teach it in business school. Netherlands Business School. Those ones are carnal. Abraham was not a carnal person. He was a spiritual man. Hallelujah. It is true that prosperity is in the Bible, but the way it is taught, it's taught the way they teach business administration on campus. It produces carnal people. The teaching concerning prosperity is the teaching that will yoke you with Jesus, yoke you with the Holy Ghost. Yes. If you find someone that is not giving to enough prayer, he doesn't understand this good news concerning sufficiency. God, in the place of prayer, God told me, you know, every instruction is a manifestation of the release of all grace. If you say, wake up in the night, go and carry bucket, fill it with water, and hold it like this. If it's God that said it,
It is a means by which we receive all grace. So just be foolish and follow. If you are not that foolish yet, you are going to be you'll be denied access. So there's a lot of prosperity talk, and people are becoming poorer. Meanwhile, the covenant is supposed to be brighter when there's recession. Yes. Have you not read in your scripture? The Bible says when there is a casting down. That's when we will be saying, that's covenant. It's a spirit that is involved with us. We are not looking at all share index. We are not checking the GDP in order for us to grow. In fact, we grow better when things are bad. So that gospel exists. Hallelujah. I was on my knees and fasted for many months. All right? Fasted for many months. I was on my knees on the 13th of January 2003 when God says, you will not go into full-time ministry now. I'll give you a job. I said, Guy, I didn't pray for a job. I said, show me which ministry you want me to labor with. I know you have been talking about this call. Now I finish your service. And you are talking job. What was this matter? Then I did not know the wisdom of the El Shaddai. I thought that the chemistry I had read had become enlightened. So I'm arguing. Hey, what? Say, after my argument, he continued. When I now kept quiet, he said, and you will invest. He didn't even answer my he didn't even answer my argument. The argument was bogus. It was very logical. When I finished and stopped, he said, and you will invest in many destinies and a great network will be formed. Then I did not know what a network was. So you see, working with God is not exactly intelligence. I've seen women in the village that are not educated that know Jesus. Meanwhile, spirituality is not a friend of mental slothfulness. Just to strike the balance. Just to strike it. Until you invest in many destinies, a great network shall be formed. So, he already factored this recession into that utterance. You are not with me. And so, the recession is here. We don't know there's a recession. Because there were words that the Lord gave so that we will not want. Do you get the second one? Now, that's good news concerning prosperity. Then we have good news concerning corporate life, because in the visions of God, the fullness of what God intends to achieve cannot be achieved in the life of an individual. He will achieve it in the life of a body. No matter how gifted you are, no matter how anointed you are, no matter how endowed of God you are. Hallelujah. You are just a little part of a very big puzzle. And the big puzzle of which I speak is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the instrument of God upon the face of the earth through which God can be known, God can be expressed, God can be advertised, God can be seen upon the face of the earth. And you are a part of that jigsaw puzzle. All your endowments and your anointing and everything that you have been endowed with, your finances, your vehicles, your degrees, your everything put together, is supposed to, it just makes you one very small part of a great puzzle. And so the people of God must be taught the bounties and blessings of God that we can access when we begin to function consistently with the knowledge of body life. For instance, I don't expect that all revelation will come to me. Hallelujah. Before I came for this weekend, because it's a litigation, I had to consult with two other counsels, support counsels. Because we stumbled on a particular scripture and it was difficult to unravel. So I consulted. After consulting my library, all the Bible commentaries I have from Matthew Henry to grills to all kinds of stuff. I did not find answers to my question. I said, okay, there is no commentary at my disposal that has an accurate perspective of this scripture. So I had to consult Just it's one spirit that animates all of us in the body of Christ. Maybe what you are lacking, he already encountered somebody and gave him yesterday. And he will not be under pressure to give you the same encounter if you don't understand the scope of his activity, which is within the corporate man. Many of you here, because the other day I was asking some people, do you know Benny Hinn? He's a Baptist guy. And he said he doesn't know Benny Hinn. I say about 40% of your life has gone. Yes. About 40% of your Christian life has been wasted. Hallelujah. In a very long time, God raises a man and gives him a voice among his people, so that they can be established in a particular aspect of him that is being omitted and being avoided. And we can say very clearly that Benny Hinn is one of such men. Just like Captain Kuman was another such person. Just like Reinhard Bonnke is another of such men. Hallelujah. I say you were in the crucible, in the crucible of the Baptist Church. And you were insulated from what God was doing in the larger circle of the body of Christ. You are not too different from a snail. You know, a snail is in a chair. And it views life from the cocoon of that enclave. That's someone that has not understood the good news concerning the corporate life. We are a result of the input of many, many people. Yes, many, many people. There were things I learned from Pastor Kumuyi. There were things I learned from Pastor Chris Akilome. There were things I learned from Pastor Tunde Bakare. And I'm still learning. Still learning. Then at some point, God now points out one among all these people and says, you see this pattern I'm running with him. You are actually a relative, a spiritual relative of this man. Can you join that chariot and learn the ways? Because I will not teach you the things I have done with him. You go and learn. I need to tell you something quickly before I move from this subject. This is a counsel. It is a parable. You know when Zechariah, John's father, you know, the angel appeared to him and told him that John was going to go in the spirit and the power of Prophet Elijah. So John's father knew that his son was Elijah that was to come. Do you know that his father did not tell John that you are Elijah? When people came to interview him, who are you? He said, I'm the voice of one. That one was a personal revelation, that I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare. But he never said he was Elijah, because his father did not tell him. There are some things that God will tell your spiritual father, he won't tell you. That's the parable. Let me stop there. Because you feel that with your own anointing, you are too limited. You are too limited. When you find a man, an instrument, all right, whose voice begins to touch nations, it's the virtue that flowed from different heritages that makes such a man to rise. You might not even have an international ministry. You might meet with somebody that has that international calling, and part of that grace can come on you. And then suddenly, international ministry. You are leveraging upon the man's deposit. And so the gospel, the good news concerning corporate life, is also an area that needs recovery quickly. We have the good news concerning the high calling in Christ. You see, when you were brought into Christ, hallelujah, when you were brought into Christ, you may not have known, but the ecosystem that you were brought into, there are expectations that God has concerning your life. If we look upon this man, Paul, Paul says that I strive towards the mark. So every one of us that is called from above, there is a mark. There's an expectation. You see, that word mark there is a mark based on the measurement of a ruler. Based on the investment that is upon your life, Heaven already knows what your life should produce on the ruler, on the scale of things. It is when Paul discovered that in the spirit realm there were expectations, there was a definite mark of what his life should produce. That is when Paul now felt it was necessary to forget those things that are behind. And then there is only one possibility, to press on. Now, when you find a man that is not pressing, it means he has not yet been instructed in the about this gospel of the high calling. A man that is casual with his Christian life is just running. You say, yeah, glory to God. Oh. he has no knowledge of the fact that there is what? I need to tell you something, just in case you are not aware. Millions of naira passed through our hands for the gospel. Millions. Millions. A lot of millions of naira. Meanwhile, we can be at home starving. But millions of naira passed through our hands for the kingdom. You see, somebody came the other day and looked at me for 2 days. 2 days. He was disappointed. He thought I was a rich man. But when he came, he now discovered that I'm surviving by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know why we are doing that? There's a mark. There's a mark. There's what? There's a mark. That's why we are doing what we are doing. It's a lot of... But we are now used to the sacrifice. And it's sweet now. Just like giving. If you start giving, it will be painful initially. When the spirit of giving comes upon you, if you don't give, you'll be sick. One weekend, the meeting I was supposed to have in Lokoja, they now changed the date. So I was now free that weekend. And I said, okay. My wife said, oh yeah, come and rest. And when I was resting, she now went to preach somewhere. That rest from Friday to Sunday was as if I would die. In fact, it was when death was closed that what I did with that weekend is this teaching I'm teaching you this weekend. I entered the scripture. I said, Jesus, I've been doing it for so many years that it's as if if we don't preach the gospel, it's as if we are cursed. I almost died that week. I now brought my diaries out, brought my tools, and I got into scripture. That was when I came up with the good news of the high calling, the good news concerning the stature of leadership. The reason why God puts an anointing upon your life is so that you can influence others. Now, are you with me? So that I can have the ability to influence other people. Have you read the scripture that says, iron sharpeneth iron, and so shall a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. You have something to say? Yes. Is the good news concerning what? The stature of leadership. Now, only God knows how many people you were supposed to touch with the anointing you have. Do you realize that some people's healing is not tied to Adeboye, it's tied to you? Because when Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda, there were a multitude of impotent folk. Jesus healed one and left the rest for us. Is it that he didn't have the anointing to say, hey, all of you, mass healing. He just touched one and left the other people suffering there. Because it's for you. It's for you and for you and for me. So the purpose of the anointing is for influence. For that, as the anointing grows, your influence will grow. And then, whether you like it or not, you become a leader. Okay. Now, for 10 years, we have been interceding here. Interceding. And the anointing has been growing gradually. That is on my own life and on the life of my friends, my brethren here. All right? So, I've been able to... The meetings they invite me for 10 years ago are different from the ones they invite me now. Right? From the beginning of this year, I started preaching to 7,000 people. What? From last year? 5,000 people. 6,000 people. So one man influencing 6,000 people at once. See, when we were in the cave, laboring, which we are still there, we didn't know that something was changing. The anointing was being added so that we can influence more people. All right? Recently, they came to give me an award from the Pan-African Parliament. And the scope of entries that came is from all across Africa, emerging leaders. The reason why there's visibility is because the anointing is increasing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, and there was a time I went to Malawi to preach. While I was sleeping the night, God said to me clearly, in fact, that I've made you one of the fathers of the African revival. Now, so when they brought that award, it reminded me of that. Now, this is the world recognizing that there is leadership. Who told you that the mantle you carry is just for the church? Those days, prophets did not have pulpits. Think about that. Jesus did not have a pulpit. Think about it. There were people from different nations that, Gentile nations that came to see Jesus. Leaders from different, it is called visibility. You know, when you are praying humbly in the cave, you will not know that the time will come when you will become visible. And when visibility comes, you need to structure your life for greater impact. And then somebody will now come and say, hey, this was not how you were before. Meanwhile, the person is not putting into cognizance the fact that there is visibility, the scope, the reach has increased, and you need to strategize to be able to operate at that level. People want you to operate the way you were operating. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's even anti-administration. Do you understand? A time will come, if you come to my house, I will drive you. Yes, you will be driven out. We will be seen in church. Don't come there. But that time has not come. But I'm telling you that there's a time. Maybe when that time comes, they say, is this how we started? Are we still ready? I'm preparing. Some of you have it in mind, so I'm answering your question. You are saying, in 1 week they brought 2 hours. You see, is it not the flesh that we were talking about? Because the person does not understand. The only way you can judge a man accurately is when you hear the voice of God, the person that called him. If you look at a circumstance and then you make a case, Baba might haunt you. You don't know how many times I've been on planes, I've traveled in the night to preach the gospel since this year. You will just see something and say, yeah. And then before you wake up dumb, you will not know what the person has with Jesus. Because everybody will want you to remain on that level. Sorry, Jesus didn't plan it that way. Yes, the anointing will be increasing and the visibility will be increasing. And nations will come. This, hallelujah, nations. Meanwhile, I don't need to tell us what is happening behind the scene. Right now, as we speak, there are bishops from different nations that are coming to, they say they saw that the pattern of ministry we are doing is the one that the apostles did. They want to learn. They want to be children of the house. I have a long list of people that have subscribed to learn the ways of apostolic leadership from nations. People have not seen before. And from next year, we must make effort to begin to travel from nation to nation to see those people and to partner with them to take over Africa. So the way it was before, it cannot be the way it is now. Now, we are saying, do you know how many years we had the money to do crusade in IBB Square? At least 7 years. For 7 years, we had the money. But it was not time. So it's time. This even it took Shala to press me to go and check. He said, let's go. I said, no, we won't go. Because I was still used to cave. Then on the business now prophesy and say, so God has taken it to Undubisi. You may not know the struggles that we go through in the work of the gospel. Hallelujah. Don't be quick to comment. It's a great labor. You die. Jesus. A time comes. The other day, food had no taste. And I knew that that was the last bus stop to sickness. You know, this body can die. So we had to go. Doctor say, hey, you are losing Jesus. All for the sake of ministry. It is when the anointing begins to increase, your appetite for many things will begin to die. Yes. It's easier when you are more anointed. But it's also easier for you to miss it. Up there. Right? It's easier. Life in the spirit is easier. Living holy is easier. Living right is easier. Picking the voice of God is easier. It's much easier for me now than it was before. On issues of life, of living right and all of that, it's not a challenge. Right? The issue now is to hear God for the strategy of the moment. That one. If you want to pray for me, pray for that. As the anointing increases, the capacity increases. The visibility increases. A time will come, kings will come. If a king wants to come here, you know we can't. There's a protocol. You know better. Because Gentiles will come into your light. What will happen? Kings. It's the brightness of your rising that they will come to. So a time will come where the anointing on your life will attract kings. I believe that will be one of the strongest sources of tourism to Benue State in the days to come. But that's a stature of leadership. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a stature of leadership. It goes like that. It advances like that. So there's such a gospel. Then we have the gospel of the kingdom. You know that. Then number 8 is the gospel of the grace of God, which is the mechanism by which we can live accurately in the kingdom. We have the gospel of the glory of God. You know, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shall what? Shall cover the earth. It speaks about a time as the waters cover the sea. And then the final one, which is the 10th one, is the eternal gospel. The eternal gospel. The proclamation by the 2 angels in the book of Revelation. Now, we will not go into that. But I just wanted to show you the full scope of things and where grace lies. It's the basis of actualization. So let's go back to where we left off yesterday. Are you blessed already? The devil will do all he can to ensure that we veer off from the emphasis. So we labor to remain accurate in the name of Jesus. So Joseph Prince said, number 2, that believers need not confess their sins because it brings sin consciousness. The believer does not need to confess his sin. It brings sin consciousness. Hallelujah. So you sin, you don't confess. You lie, don't confess. You fornicate, just go on. You rob a bank, just say glory. Let's start. In fact, how I wish there's an edifice that a young man built on this do not confess sin thing that he used to feel guilty, will confess, feel guilty, will confess. Your experience cannot be the basis of truth. Truth is superior to your experience. So maybe I'm trying to see if I can get the guy's statement. We'll look at it and then we'll provide a defense against it. But first of all, let us look at a few scriptures to answer this position that has been raised. Meanwhile, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. You know 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. Can we have 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 on the screen? Oh. Can anything be clearer than this? Meanwhile, they claim that this was not written to Christians, it was written to Gnostics and all of that. Okay. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, let us prove that this was not written to Gnostics, because that's the premise upon which the argument was based, that this was written to Christians. And we need to understand the spirit of the scripture. God spoke on these matters in different parts of the Bible, and we're going to look at it. But they said it must be New Testament. Because the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. But they say, no, that's Old Testament. We're in a new regime, a new time. And then this one now, they say, we should look for another scripture in the New Testament that says we should confess our sin. Okay, stay with me. We'll use their own argument against them. So we'll limit ourselves to New Testament. But meanwhile, I hope you know what New Testament means from yesterday. It was set in motion even before. Because that's what God had in mind. And God knew that it would be by grace that his plans would be accomplished with humankind. But the law was added because of transgression. Okay, let's first of all, are you there? First John, let me turn my own Bible. I hope you know that the scriptures are a perpetual continuum. They were not broken into chapters and verses originally. They were broken into chapters and verses 100 years after the scripts were written. And that's the work of theologians. If you check, if you read your Bible, you see it's a perpetual continuum. The chapters, the verses, like for 1 John, for instance, let's go to chapter 2. You will see it's a continuum. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. You see, in chapter 2, verse 1, he calls the church, he calls them his little children. I'm trying to find out how this is referring to Gnostics. And when we check the scripture itself, it says, if we confess our sins, if we, not if you, but if we confess our sins. So that premise, upon arrival, it's a suspect. Upon arrival, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Now, is it the subject of, we should not look at, since the premise is forgiveness, and that's horizontal, I would like us to look at forgiveness vertically. Let's go beyond this boundary and look at it vertically. And then we'll come back and tackle those matters. Okay. We still have Matthew chapter... Okay. They now brought another scripture, which I need to handle. They brought Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 to 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us or our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
But if ye do not, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So they said, forgiveness, the protocol for forgiveness in the New Testament is not dependent on we forgiving men their trespasses. So this is not the New Testament position about the subject of forgiveness. So confession is not one of the things that a believer should be doing. All right, we have five types of forgiveness in the Bible. I will not go deeply into them anyway. But I think we'll just do something here quickly. Maybe I'll start by unraveling the meaning of Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 to 15. I'll need to bring the presentation of one of the support councils. Hallelujah. The support council gave us a very robust perspective of that scripture. So we are going to subscribe. Meanwhile, I guess we understand the general overview of the book of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. General overview was that Jesus showed up and the multitude gathered. When the multitude gathered, what he did was that he, instead of preaching in a crusade and healing the sick, what he did was that he climbed a mountain. He raised the standard. But if you want to get ministry today, you need to climb a hill. Meanwhile, it was a multitude that gathered upon seeing him. Then he raised the standard. That is Matthew chapter 5. Are you with me? Right. Often raised the standard. At the end of the day, it was only the disciples that felt it was needful to climb. The multitude went back and only the disciples climbed. You see, so the people that he was addressing from Matthew chapter 5 were his disciples, not the multitude. Notice the scripture that they are using to argue. If ye forgive men their trespasses, he said, your heavenly Father. Can the Jew, can the unbeliever, the agnostic, can they call him Father? So I don't want to press there yet. Let's just stay within context. Stay within context. Now, you see, these people, they know the scriptures and they know how to twist it. They know where to twist it. If you don't dot your I's properly, don't cross your T's properly, you find yourself believing a doctrine taught by a demon. And your soul will be at risk. Because in our Bible study before today, we saw that if your believing is wrong, your living will be wrong, and your expectation will be wrong. All right. So Jesus raised the standard and only his disciples were able to make it up here. Few points by one of the council. Point one. Here, Jesus speaks to children. He usually denied the claims of the Jews, Pharisees and co. Whenever they claim God or Abraham as their father, he would say the devil is their father. But here, this scripture is talking about God who is our heavenly Father. So he's not talking to the Jews, he's talking to us. Number two, Jesus is not speaking about how to be saved here. He's speaking about those who already believe in him. And according to Jesus himself, Jesus is not speaking about how to be saved here. He's speaking to those who already believe in him. And according to Jesus himself, believing in him is how to be saved. John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 is saying, to those whose sins have been forgiven, that if they don't forgive others, the Heavenly Father will not forgive them. This is government. We're going to the five types of forgiveness, and you see where each and the principles, the laws that govern each one of them, what it rests upon. Hallelujah. This is the secondary level of forgiveness and discussion. This is a family matter. It's between us and our Heavenly Father. Three, fellowship. A believer who harbors unforgiveness cannot enjoy smooth fellowship with the Father, because unforgiveness stands between him and his Father. In fellowship, the father-child relationship may be intact. Okay, the father-child relationship may be intact, but fellowship may be strained. This is serious because God cannot forgive our offender for us. He can forgive him in us, helping us to be willing to forgive. Now, so if you are going to relate with God, and the fact that I refuse to forgive Tony is going to affect my relationship with God, if I value my relationship with God, I will let Tony go so that I can continue. Do you understand that? Okay, so it's a fellowship. It's a fellowship issue. Number four, when you hold a grudge, it interferes with your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. The only way to be in smooth fellowship is to let go the grudge. Matthew chapter 6 verse 15 literally means that your fellowship with God can't be smooth if your fellowship with your neighbor is strained. Of course, there are those who have lost sensitivity and may seem to enjoy God despite unforgiveness in their heart. But it is a subjective, delusional piece. Objectively, their relationship with God is strained. Hallelujah. And so, that's a commentary. I got live commentary from a support council on the matter. Amen. So let us go into some exposition. First of all, we have what is called eternal forgiveness. Eternal forgiveness. That's the one that everybody that is saved has. All right? Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Eternal forgiveness. Then secondly, we have forgiveness through God's people. John chapter 20, verse 23. What Jesus said. Can you give me John? Because it's a controversial scripture. Let's look upon it. John chapter 20, verse 23. Please help us. Oh my. Okay. Let me use my own Bible. My technical people have gone to sleep. John chapter. All right. Okay. Let me tell you the practice of this. Whosoever sins ye remit are remitted unto them, and those so ever sins you retained are retained. Okay, these are two things there. One of the responsibilities of the apostles is to confirm the souls of the brethren. Right? To confirm the souls of the brethren. Now, in this is what we call borrowed forgiveness. Borrowed. I went for a crusade, and when I taught in the crusade, I preached in the crusade, and the conviction of the Lord came so powerfully upon the crusade ground. Now, the guy that came, the music minister that they invited to minister, and the photographer, the video people, music minister came and was crying on the ground and gave his life to Christ. He was singing for Jesus, but he was not saved. Several people began to cry. The people began to cry. The people began to cry. So I allowed them to cry. Because in fact, I made them cry more by by striking. Then they cried. Some fell on the ground, were rolling, crying. Then as I was doing that, glory. As I was doing that, then I felt in my spirit, I have accepted them. He came to me. Right? But they were still what? Crying. Meanwhile, I've known in my spirit that they have been accepted. So what I did, I changed my mood. And I started consoling them. He has forgiven you. You are forgiven. Now that's borrowed forgiveness. See, God has already forgiven them, but they did not know. So you now come and say you are forgiven. You get that? What did I call it? Borrowed. It's not as if you have the power to forgive sins. It's that you are sensitive to God to know that God has actually effected something which the people are not sensitive to. So you speak to them as though God is speaking to them. It's what? Borrowed forgiveness. It took me another 12 minutes to convince them that he has heard. The cry as I was I think I'm sorry, yes, you are forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. It took me another 12 minutes to achieve that. And then after that, and I said, Holy Ghost, if you are forgiving them, they began to speak in tongues. Alright, so but it took me 12 minutes to make them understand that they have been forgiven. And I did not do that in the flesh. I receive a witness in my spirit that they have been forgiven. Hallelujah. And then I now sold that to them. That's number one. Then, second aspect is whosoever sins you retain are retained. Okay. This guy can come. And maybe we're in council meeting. And when he comes there, he insults everybody in the council meeting. All of you are fake people, God. So we send somebody from the council to find out whether he was drunk. Maybe we'll send the ST to him on a day when he's more sober and say, were you drunk, daddy? And he said, no, no, no. And then continue. We'll now send ST and doctor to him again. Say, are you okay? This matter that in Andrei solved it. They came back and reported to the council. We now say, me and now come to the pulpit. And say, we hereby release this brother to Satan. No, this is scripture. In fact, before we can do that, the choir will sing first. No, you see. All right. You don't believe. Wait, see. You are not believing me now. Second Corinthians. Wait. Let me check for my scripture. You are not believing. All right. Second Corinthians. Don't worry. Let me give you that quickly. Quickly. Okay. First Corinthians chapter 5. This is what we do. Verse 1 says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Verily, for I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has done this deed. Now this is how we deal with this matter. Verse 4. He said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one. When he had gathered
together. That's two. So we hold a meeting. We hold conference. And my spirit, that means the spirit of Paul, collocates, he comes there. Are you with me? And the power of Jesus also comes into the meeting. So they will sing first, pray, and the power will come. And then I will come to the pulpit and say, Sam has been excommunicated. You know what that utterance will do? That means that, are you with me? In that case, what we have done as the body of Christ is to retain that sin. You know the implication? Your cover will be removed. And Satan will be able to strike you without consequence. Sickness, affliction, all kinds of things will happen to you. So that your body can be destroyed, but your spirit can be saved. So we have the ability to. I just added that one. Meanwhile, it's only part A of the scripture that concerns my discussion. You get that? Borrowed forgiveness. Okay, number three, we have forgiveness for restoring a brother or sister into fellowship. See, if after we excommunicate Sam, and then he now comes with sackcloth and ashes. The devil has afflicted him. And he crawls and said, he didn't know what, he saw you. Please pardon me. And we pick in the spirit that his repentance is genuine. We can now reverse that utterance by the same protocol that we used to release him. That is, so we forgive him and bring him back into fellowship. That is fellowship level of forgiveness. Then we have governmental forgiveness. Then we have kingdom forgiveness. Now, these two I will not explain. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Are you with me? Can you go to verse 1, chapter 1 John chapter 1, I will tell you the verse to go to. Okay, from verse 5. From verse 5. Now, watch this. The message of the book of 1 John, if you are going to title it, is Walking in the Light. If you want to title 1 John, it will be what? Walking in the Light. Now, Jesus made a statement that is the foundation upon which we can consider the book of 1 John. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that cometh after me shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Should I come again? He said what? I am the light of this world. He that cometh after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. And that's first scripture. Second scripture. In him was life, and this life was light unto men. In the teaching or in the study of God as light, we must understand that when you give your life to Christ and the Spirit of God began to tabernacle your heart, as you begin to press into God in prayer, inspirations come from the Spirit of God to you. Inspirations. Because the Bible says that light is that which makes manifest. You see, I can be, anytime Pastor Dan comes to me, maybe I'm the organ now, he's working under me, comes, I'm always intimidating him, insulting him, and I'm a Christian, and I don't feel he's wrong. And then I now go to the place of prayer, just praying for other things, and then God now say, stop talking to Dan like that. You see, what has happened is that light has come. And the property of light is that it has the capacity to make what? Manifest. It has, light has revealed that my manner of life is wrong. Did you get that? All right, let's go back to 1 John. Don't forget that. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And just in case you think God is small light, God is mostly light. And the Bible says, in him there is no darkness at all. Now, you say this message, this is, we heard it from Jesus himself. And I'm declaring it to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, I need you to understand what Jesus said. He said, if you come after me, you will not walk in darkness. You have the light of life. There is a light that the life of God in you gives. You have that light. All right, so he is now telling us that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Next verse. If we say we have fellowship with him, can we underline the word fellowship? Critical. Because a man that is born again, that doesn't have fellowship with God, might not realize the things we are about to discuss subsequently. And I also want you to underline if, which means it's not every believer that has fellowship with God. But if you are one of them that claims to have fellowship with God, and you walk in darkness, we are lying. We do not the truth. So if I claim to have fellowship with God, and I have a babe in BSU, a babe that in the night I will pack in the tent and take our Okada. And then she knows where to stand. So when you come to the tent, you will see the car there and say, okay, he's here. He's here. He's praying. He's high in spirit. Meanwhile, he has moved. Him and the lady have taken car to Boko. He's very discreet. In fact, when they are coming back, the lady would have entered back and be in the car. They will not even follow the same car. He will follow and lock. Then they will trace Bay's Garden. There's a place there you should call Bay's Garden. Bay's Garden. And when they finish from Bay's Garden, because the lady will enter, check into another room. It's not as if they will, 2 hours before the man checks into another room. What the collocations that take place thereafter is not, even the desk officer doesn't know that there is any. If by any means it is discovered that is the pattern, it is a proof that what? We don't have fellowship with him. Because if you have fellowship with him, that light that is in the life you receive will point to that darkness. Because in him there is no darkness at all. You see, you might be engaging in some things that may not be outrightly wrong according to scripture, but it's wrong for you based on the position that God has placed you in the body of Christ. And you may not even know. And then as you are fellowshipping, light breaks out. And then suddenly you realize that, no, even though it's not biblically wrong, but it is wrong for me to sustain this disposition. It is going to cast aspersions on the heart of many people. Because of that, it is better for me to refrain from it. It is light that educated me to have that knowledge. Next verse, quickly. Next verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then one of the benefits of walking in the light is that you won't need a prayer meeting to stay in fellowship. You will be flowing in fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What will happen? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from our sin. You see, as we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, you begin to discover things that are not in their proper places in your life. That's what walking in the light does. And then as you find those things that are not in their proper places, then you initiate a protocol of confessing those things that you have found to be wrong because of your walk in the light. Confession of sin is part of our walk in light. I'm not talking about, do you understand? Not somebody going to fornicate. I'm saying this guy is walking in the light. And then the light is making manifest some things he never knew was wrong. And then he has to subject himself to the protocol of confessing so that he can retain fellowship. What I found with the Joseph Prince preacher and his cohorts is that they negate what is called the organic salvation. You see, in Romans chapter 5 verse 10, the Bible revealed the two sides of salvation, the legal side and the living side. Are you with me? Romans 5:10. Can you do Romans 5:10 in your Bible? Romans chapter 5 verse 10. There are two sides to salvation. There is a legal side to salvation. There is a living side to salvation. For if, when we're enemies. Oh my. Is this fasting that is making my eyes blood? If when we're enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. You see, the death of his son, that is the legal side. The death of his son satisfied the claims of divine justice. The death of his son satisfied God. Legal side. The greatest legal statement in this ecosystem is the death of Jesus. He said, much more being reconciled. Down that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So there are two sides to salvation. There's a legal side and a living side. Now that the Holy Spirit has come to tabernacle you, every disposition you have that is not consistent with his nature, that light of life will shine on that disposition and you will be saved from it. It will shine on another disposition. You'll be saved from it. You see, salvation by his life, that protocol continues. It is by walking in the light that we experience the organic salvation. The organic salvation brings us, it is the basis upon which we achieve transformation, achieve conformation, achieve renewing, achieve glorification. All of those four factors are within the crucible of salvation by life. It's organic. Now, what I notice in the preaching of the hypergrace movement is a total denial of the organic salvation. That the Holy Spirit does not convict us of sin. There's no need to confess. No need to reconcile with God. Don't develop the organic scenario. Let fellowship not exist. Just be a product of the letters. And I hope you know the end point. The letter does what? So they deny organic salvation. That scripture is a core scripture that talks about walking in light. I hope you know the Bible says that our inheritance is in light. And part of our inheritance in light is that we have the privilege to walk in light. And our walking in life, the operating system of our walking in light is our fellowship with God. Fellowship with what? With God. And fellowshipping with God is not just prayer. Prayer is the activation. Prayer is what? When we begin to pray in tongues, maybe we'll practice some of the things that you need in your fellowship life. Like my wife now, I'm at home, I'm a clown. I can start singing. Bang, 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 bang. I'm singing for her. Bang, bang, bang. The day when I notice she's frowning. Bang, 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 bang. Ah, Jesus. Even me, I like myself. Me, I like myself. Now, you see, it's not every time you communicate with your wife by talking. So as I begin to sing that song, oh, the frowning is no longer. Especially if I take a dance move, I knock it off. All of that is too. It's fellowship. It's fellowshipping. Not necessarily communication in the sense of strong, hard communication. Fellowship. All right, let's do practice. Because you need to know how to fellowship. You need to know how to bring God into your space. Those are the organic dimensions. That's what we teach in the school of prophets. The organic dimensions. The living dimensions. To understand that 70% of the Holy Ghost communication is not in words. In signs, mostly. In signs, in pictures. The way he communicates is different from the way you perceive communication, because his own communication is in spirit. Is spirit and life. Your receptacle to contact that communication is in form of signs, form of signal. Oh my. Alright. You see, if you are going to understand fellowship, one of the things you will begin to do eventually is that you condition your environment. You see, if you want to receive a visitor, you go and buy wine, you buy cake, you prepare rice, so that when the visitor comes, the place, even if you don't use air freshener before, but that day you now get air freshener. There is a way the visitor will feel when the visitor knows that you prepared for him. For instance, we knew you were coming, so, and we knew that this is my recording, we put AC. So when you sit, there's no sweat. Your brain is... Some people come early because of AC. Before they encounter God, they encounter AC first. Now, fellowship is something that is very intelligent. It's very deliberate. And if you know that our only link with El Shaddai, to stay in tune with El Shaddai, if you know that we really depend on El Shaddai, we really need El Shaddai, and we are insufficient in ourselves, you will treasure your fellowship life. I'm telling you the way of Christians. I don't know the way of unbelievers, but I'm telling you the way of Christians. If a pastor has not taught you how to fellowship, how to receive the word of the Lord, you are in a zoo, a charismatic zoo, where they gather antelopes and you are not making any headway. Because the only headway you can make that the world system cannot challenge. The devil is looking for us to yank us out. The reason why he cannot yank us out is because we are under security. Under Jehovah's security. We are doing what Jehovah wants. So Jehovah keeps us. If God gives us an idea to begin a business, it will prosper without even whether there is recession. Or there is no recession, it will prosper. Because God is the one that gave it. Whatsoever is born of God. Now, so Joseph Prince doesn't ever talk about the experience of God. Organic. And everything that will hinder an organic alignment with God in the realm of fellowship. Don't confess your sin. That means there will be a relationship breach. The Holy Spirit does not convict of sin. So you don't even feel any need to reconcile. And this is what the scripture says. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Eh? Because the Spirit of God happens to be the personality that seals you until the day of redemption. So you stay in a state of perpetual disalignment with the Holy Ghost. That is the state, the next bus stop to apostasy. Do you understand? You understand what we are dealing with? We are dealing with Satan here. Christianity is not brain. Christianity is life. And then this guy comes to teach that we should break every protocol with the spirit of life. Meanwhile, we are given an express instruction not to grieve the only personality by which we have been saved. I want to teach you fellowship, what I do. Now, I can bring him. I know him. I know what he likes. So I give him what he likes. And then he will stay. He will now begin to enlarge himself. He will off his shoe and cross like this. I say, yeah, glory. Then we. And after some time, he will now say, I want to heal. I want to heal. I want to heal. I say, that's where you came. That's where we brought you. Oh, yeah. Heal. Then it's okay. There's somebody like this. We are just partnering. He's the one doing the show. We are just partnering with him. And we can switch from here now. Like, I'm still in the teaching office. I'm not powerful. We can switch from here. If we know the buttons of fellowship, quick, you bring him. Then he begins to do. The other day we woke up and we got angry. We got angry. I said, okay, let's go to the streets and do the things we do in church on the street. 1, 2, 3. The crowd gathered there. Because it was more effective on the street than it was in church. We took the fellowship. Are you still following? We kindled the lamp at home. Then went out. Hey, who do you have any interest? Who do you want to touch? He said that one. We went there. And a scene broke out. Fellowship is living. It's not in a book. It's alive in me. So, somebody comes to teach how we will die to the organic side and expect to survive on the legal side. What he is doing desperately is to bring us into the letters, and he wants to kill us. Now, in my own practice of the presence of God, can you give animate this instrument? Okay, the media has cut me off from that. I wanted to show you some practices, but they have not been able to animate my organ. Glory. Now, number three, Joseph Prince advocates the Paul-only gospel. The Paul-only. Now, Paul, reduce your volume. That Paul was the apostle that was sent to the Gentiles. And as such, he's the only one that Gentiles should hear. It's the authority of the spiritual philosophy to the Gentile nations. So, they don't subscribe to John, Peter, but Paul. Paul only. Hallelujah. Let us use scripture to address that matter. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2.
Okay, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by who? The Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Hallelujah. How can we escape? It began to be spoken by the Lord. It continued by who? By them that what? Heard him. And then in the book of... In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says all scripture, 2 Timothy. So it began by the Lord, it continued by them that heard him. Second scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Somebody say all scripture. Not Paul's scripture, but all scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, all scripture, not Paul's scripture. You see, of which salvation? He says it was first. It began to be spoken by the Lord. And then it was spoken by them that heard it. Meanwhile, all scripture, not New Testament alone, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And for your information, this is Pauline. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Paul they are quoting is the one that says all scripture. All scripture. Pauline. Matthew, quickly, chapter 5, verse 18. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot nor all one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until it be fulfilled. Now, I checked jot. Jot in Greek is iota. That's where we got that iota from. It's Greek. Iota means the name of the eighth letter of the Greek alphabet. Iota. So, it means letter. Not one letter. Huh? Are you with me? Then, I checked tittle. Tittle means words. Alright, so is it not one letter or one word of the word of God will go forth without being fulfilled? So if you are a good custodian of doctrine, you will not avoid one letter. You get that? Because in the book of Galatians chapter 3, Paul made a presentation, an argument. Can we do that, Galatians chapter 3? You will see where he used one letter to make an argument. I'll also show you where Paul used one word to make an argument, because he wanted to show us how important it was for us to carry along the philosophy of one letter and the implication of one word. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul, I think, let me find the particular verse of scripture that I need for this business. Galatians.
Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not to seeds as in many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, seeds and seed. He didn't say seeds. S. He didn't add S. He said seed, indicative of one. Can you see how one letter becomes the basis of an argument? So, Joseph Prince is not even advocating for the omission of one letter or one word. He's advocating for the omission of the entire Old Testament. Huh? And then parts of the New Testament. What religion will you make out of that? When we saw from yesterday's teaching that the Old Testament began long time. So there are many scriptures that you will find in the Old Testament that sustain accurate New Testament positions. You know, those days, what's his name? David. David said, let my prayers ascend to thee. And let the lifting up of my hands be as what? It would have been blasphemy for him to say that at that time. Because what the evening sacrifice was when you conduct burnt offering, and the smoke. But this man was able to peep into the future. He received the priesthood, was already participating in the priesthood of the future by revelation. And he saw that thing, the sacrifice there, that thing. There is a priesthood beyond these daily sacrifices. So you say, let my prayers ascend to thee. And let the lifting up of my hands be as what? The evening sacrifice. That word there is Yada. There are seven words for priests in the book of Psalms. Seven words. One of them is praise him, lifting up your hands. That was the same posture that Abraham took when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah came to him to offer him the spoils of war. He said, I have lifted up my hands. You came late. I lifted up my hands in surrender to the Lord Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. Yada. This is the posture that David was talking about. Abraham stumbled on this posture too, by revelation. He said, before you came, this your deal would have been good if you came earlier. But unfortunately, I, Yada, to the Most High, have submitted to him. He promised to make me great. So I submitted to his own formula. Let it never be said that you guys made me great. Because of that, I will not collect shoe latchet from you. So that you cannot place a hand on my prosperity when it comes. Some people entered into the economy and were operating from there. Let the lifting up of my hands. You cannot successfully use a ruler to say, this is Old Testament, this is New Testament in the Bible. I assure you. What kind of faith? Because the Bible speaks about the heroes of faith, for instance. What kind of faith did Enoch walk in that he was bodily raptured from the face of the earth? What you don't see that I want you to see is that all those guys whose names were written in the book of Hebrews as heroes of faith, all of them were born again. That's what you don't see. God, they had identified, they had worked with God, and God had logically calculated their belief in him as righteousness. That's what you don't see. So it would be wrong for a theologian to come and take a ruler and say, the death of the testator. Meanwhile, Jesus has salvation. He forgave sins. He healed the sick as a sign of what Isaiah said. He raised the dead. He gave life to whom he will. He was the one that told his disciples, you are clean. You guys are clean. because of the words I spoke to you. We are clean. What kind of faith? Enoch. Hallelujah. Huh? He was not. And when people ask, where did he go to? The answer was, the Lord took him. Huh? The Lord did what? Those people walked in the covenant of grace. By what spirit did Abraham become the friend of God, the father of faith, and the father of many nations, Muslims, Christians, and Jews? They claim him as their spiritual ancestor. And that's why the book of Romans chapter 4, Paul says, what did Abraham, our father, find? He found salvation. He was justified. He believed God. It was calculated. It was taken to be righteousness, equivalent to righteousness. You can't come to God and God will tell you, you came too early. I have not sacrificed myself. This is God that raised the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. There were people that entered those economies before the legalities that support their existence was established. Because Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation. You see, when you walk with the immortals, they know too much. Don't claim you have brain. Just obey and be faithful. Hallelujah. Now, so there's a plot to destroy organic salvation. And that is the subject of the preaching of the hyper grace gospel. The one we'll look at when we get back is, they said that Jesus taught mixed law and grace. We will attack that when we come back. We have a, there's an edifice here. And then number 5, the Holy Ghost does not convict believers of sin. But conviction of sin is sin consciousness. That's not the Holy Ghost's duty. We're going to look at that. Then you are going to tell me what spirit Peter was operating under when he said to Ananias, because the word convict is a legal word, it's a legal register. Jesus. I'm going to show you when something's there. Yeah? Peter was sitting, Ananias came. He said, Ananias, how did he enter? Who was he operating under? Eh? How did he enter into your heart? To sin. Against the Holy Ghost. That was conviction. That's a physical drama of conviction. If you don't believe that there's conviction. So there's a physical scenario that you cannot doubt that is in the Bible. How has it come to your heart to lie against the Holy Ghost? How were you capable of this? The Holy Ghost did not even convict him alone. He killed him. Holy Ghost killed. I know you don't like that. But the Bible says the Lord killeth. Get it into your brain. The Lord what? You find people like Elijah. It was not Elijah that killed those people. It was the Lord that killed through him. And there are still anointings of the Lord today that kills people. Yes. The Lord killeth and what? He maketh alive. In the case of Ananias, he convicted him and what? Killed. The Holy Ghost doesn't know. I have a case. So we'll come and look at that. A lot of people are deceived just following. This is what we call the doctrine of perdition. At the end of the day, when we finish, we analyze what perdition is and then the doctrine of perdition. And there's a long list of people you should run from in Nigeria and Europe. Maybe you bought the tape. It's glistering. The name of it is perdition. It has elements of death that can't strifle your soul. Don't look at whether it is shining or not. There's death in the pot. Now, I said, you see, what makes Christianity different from every other religion is because there's an organic side. It's not just about doctrine. The Bible is a testimony. It's a testimony written from experiential perspective. People that experienced God, they wrote about Him, how they have known Him in their experience. So if you are accurate, are you with me? And that's why it happens to be that a man cannot communicate an experience. The tools for communication are weak. And the only way an experience can be communicated is if the spirit that gave the experience is in the communication. That's the only way. If not, you are going to, there's a dimension you are going to lose. You know, pictures are two-dimensional. But the thing they are trying to capture is three-dimensional. It means a picture is limited in trying to capture the thing it wants to capture. Huh? A picture in itself. Because it has Y coordinate, it has Z, X coordinate, it doesn't have Z coordinate. So the surveyor now comes. Surveyor comes with an aircraft. That's how they draw maps. And they can tell you the depth of each particular place. There's this small aircraft. It has cameras all over it. And they can take all kinds of pictures as they wave the aircraft like this. So they will use it to fly over the whole of Benue State. They can tell the length, the breadth, and the height when they bring the mosaic of pictures together. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, the reason why the Holy Spirit cannot be separated from the Word of God, if you remove the Holy Ghost from it, it's no longer the complete Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the Z coordinate. Then it transforms words into experiences. So that the same words can hit your heart and it will produce the same experience. And your life will be an evidence that what you read in the Bible was true. If we remove the organic side, it is the dead religion. And that's what these guys are trying to do with power. One day I got angry at somebody and I lost my peace for 3 days. I begged God for 3 days. I should tell you, let me tell you something quick. In confessing, it's not confessing by faith too. You will stay there begging Him until He withdraws His grief. Sometimes I've had to stay for 3 days. It was on the third day in the afternoon that He withdrew the grief. And my fellowship with Him was restored. That the joy I had was more than the joy I normally have when there's an alert. I felt fresh in my vessel. I felt young again. Because without Him, we can do nothing. And then when He discovers that, yes, this one is depending on me, He has no other agenda, just wants to do, then He will show you, indeed, that whatsoever is born of me, nothing in this world can overcome. Then you find out that you made the right choice to go all the way with God. Like I said, I need to teach you how to fellowship. First of all, you need to accept that the Holy Ghost is the navigator that you have to depend upon to help you wade through the corridors of the spirit realm. The spirit realm is like a wilderness. If you arrive in that realm, you will need a navigator. You need a guide. And just in case you wade through the realm without a guide, you might come back and come down with psychiatric symptoms. Yes, a lot of people that say they wanted to go are fasting. And when they came back with symptoms. When the psychiatrist looked upon them, he called it schizophrenia. Because they were wading through a realm that they had no patent to navigate in, and they had no tour guide. First of all, you need to understand your insufficiency as to your capacity to wade through the realm of the spirit. You need a tour guide. Now, you see, so as you begin to speak in tongues, you are looking for the door He will open. Speaking in tongues. You are waiting for Him. He will open one door. The door, He can open the door of a scripture, the door of a song, the door of an impression, the door of a word, the door. But he must open the door. If you are looking to him to open the door, you will notice when the door is open. Don't depend on your tongues. The other day I was trying to teach some people. Then I said, okay, let's pray in tongues. Then they were praying in tongues. And then he opened three doors. The people were still praying in tongues. You see, they did not understand that when he opens the door, it's him that knows the way. So when he opens the door, forget what you are doing and climb into one of them. So the person now is stuck with his tongues. At the end of the day, he goes home with tongues. Me, I go home with direction. And 10 years later, he's still with tongues. And then he's wondering, he says, I'm using charm. But he has not yet known the Lord, who is a shepherd. Now, so we are going to, the reason for the tongues is that we want to mount up with wings. We want to fly. And as we fly, you know, the Bible says, who are these that fly like birds to their windows? As you fly like a bird, he's going to open a window. Be sensitive to identify that window. If you can identify that window, you can bring heaven down here. Hallelujah. Whether the people you are standing before are 1,000 people in the midst of, it's even easier when they are many. Somebody say, I became stage fright. Because you don't know him. If you know him, there's no stage that can make your leg shake. Yes, give me more volume there. Now, we're going to speak in terms of 5 minutes. I'm teaching you fellowship. This is what I do. This is what I do. Now, can you forget about everything? Forget about your GP, the course you failed, that there's only 200 naira left in your bag. It's a big bag, but when we check it, it's only 200 naira. Forget that. Forget how that you came down with fever last week and forget the young man that broke your heart in the night. He proposed to you in the morning, but he broke your heart in the night. You would have waited till morning so that you would have been able to navigate. Left you in pains in the night. Just can we forget about that and just zero in. All the concentration you had for your liver, your intestine, your heart, your lungs, gather it and then use it to look for him. So that nothing else will bother you but him. And then you use the tongues to begin to gain some form of ascendancy. Don't allow even me to be a distraction to you now. Don't allow me to be a distraction to you. Begin to gain ascendancy. Begin to gain ascendancy. Watch out for the sign he will give you. Watch out for the sign. He's a God of signs. The Bible says the Lord himself shall show you a sign. Cosamande liglosabres capatala baboria. En sombre geda cumba rasuka pate manzaila. Mabrasata. Watch out for the sign. Watch out for the sign. Milacombres cabatua. Apeno combranda. Hika sabalatua. Etobena shika. Pensomantalia. Oh, mama, shiala baburi mahasa. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you, Almighty God. We hunger and thirst for you. Hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you, O my God. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you. We
hunger and thirst for you, oh my God. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you, Almighty God, Almighty God. We hunger and thirst for you. Oh, oh, oh. Almighty God, O God. Hunger and thirst for you. Hunger and thirst for you. Almighty, Almighty God. Hunger and thirst for you. Hunger and thirst for you. Almighty God, be hunger. Hunger and thirst for you. Hunger and thirst for you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen. See, I'm still teaching. Don't get lost. See, they are lost.
You see, while we're speaking in tongues, he gave me this song as an opening. Then I entered into the song. As long as he has not given me another directive and I stay on this song can last for 5 hours. That is what he wants. He wants to hear this song. Alright? So I keep singing. I keep singing it. This one is fellowship. It's not prayer meeting. This is my own fellowship. This is what? Fellowship. It's not prayer meeting. Fellowship. Now, so as I'm singing. That's what he wants to hear. So I stayed there. I stayed there. Then he might have a different desire thereafter. And then he drops a scripture. And the scripture comes as if it was just spoken today for the first time. By faith. The elders obtained a good report. Maybe that's the scripture I don't. Then I now realize that as long as I stay with him, I will have a good report. Then my prayer point changes. Can you guarantee that I will stay with you? Then I begin to travel. Say, my son, unto the Lord that is able to keep thee from falling. So that is not a guarantee. And in fellowship, you can draw a lot of things. But allow him to lead the way. Because you don't know the way. He's the navigator. You may sit down. Sit down. Now we have questions from our brethren online. Even though the person didn't put the name, I don't know. One who has received eternal salvation. I think I explained this yesterday. What eternal means. This is a conflict of terminology. You don't know the meaning of the word. And then you imply that it means something. One who has received eternal salvation but failed in one or Well, I can't read it because it's not in English language. The holiness movement says the place of anyone that commits sin is hell. While the grace movement says anyone, even if you sin, your spirit is already saved. First of all, the fact that somebody is caught in one sin doesn't mean he has lost his salvation. Right? I need to establish that quickly. However, how much of sin would the person commit? Because the Bible says, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. Therefore, have I casted her into a bed of affliction. The grace gives you space. Right? However, how much of space you have is only Baba that knows it. It's not covered by doctrine. That's the scary aspect of it. And if you, the longer you stay in sin, the longer you are a victim of the deception of sin. And the reason why sin is deceiving you is so that it can use up your space. How long can somebody stay in sin before the person loses his salvation? It's not captured by doctrine. I remember those days when I went in secondary school, ladies used to jump the fence to go and sleep with men outside for money. And some have been doing it for 2 years. They never caught them. Then I remember one lady that the disgrace, it was the first day she was trying the deal that they captured her. She did not, her own space was small. The others. So if you use somebody's life as a yardstick, maybe the person has long grace. You don't know, maybe the person's grandfather, great-grandfather has labored, and there is one kind of space that this person should not be lost. And then you now look at the person's life. The person is, you now try one day, and find out that
You didn't even have space. You only have a full stop. Your own... the allowance you had was on that place you were standing. So the holiness movement got it wrong. Totally wrong. And the grace movement is trying to go the other way because the holiness movement got it wrong. None of them. Those are two extremes. The accurate position is in the middle. But you see, the truth of the matter is this. I will not live in sin. This is my own. I don't know. You might want to dwell in sin. It will be a personal decision. You know, I told you the marriage that we have between God and us. God is a constant. He said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. So it will depend on us. So I've made my own decision. I've written my own down. I will not leave God. I will not forsake you. I will not do casual testing of sin to test God's patience, to tempt him to see if he can do anything about my condition. I will remain with him. Because the Bible says that he that has this hope, he does what? He purifies himself, even as he is pure. So don't remain on the sidelines. The doctrine of grace is a doctrine of perdition. Meanwhile, the holiness people made a lot of doctrinal flaws. It was a product of human tradition. And the truth is that most of the holiness people were not spiritual people themselves. So they brought in human tradition and thought it was the will of God. So as much as we strike the balance. Meanwhile, I need to tell you quickly what holiness is. Holiness is not a dress code. Right? Holiness is a lifestyle that is derived from utter separation and dependence on God. It's a lifestyle that is derived from what? Utter separation and separation to God and dependence on God. That is how I live. According to the scriptures, I am a holy man. Glory. It's not a dress code thing. God, if you are really under the government of God, he will regulate everything in your life. He regulates your dressing, he regulates your everything. He regulates everything. Those are specifics that are dependent on the Holy Spirit's administration of his philosophy in individual lives. The only thing I can tell you about dressing is don't dress to suggest and don't dress to seduce. But you cannot make up a dress code from the Bible. It's not possible. The Bible is not capable. It's not a book, a dress code book. You can't formulate a dress code using the Bible. You will need to use human tradition to bring in a dress code. You need to use human tradition to bring in. Somebody say, what about the popular scripture, Deuteronomy? There were 9 things that were stated there. And one of the things is that you should not wear clothes that are of diverse kinds. Don't mix polyester with cotton. Did you check your own garment whether it's polyester and cotton? If you did not check it and you are pushing that gospel, you are a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. You are not a follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because in all those 9 examples, only one thing is being spoken in 9 different ways. One thing, one principle. The principle of separation. That's all. Separation to God. He said the other nations, this is how they are. The other nations you are going into that I'm judging, don't go and become like them. The women wear armor to worship their God. So, men, don't wear that which pertains to a woman. I believe. Don't sow diverse seed on your farmland. The same thing. Mixture. Don't mix with them. Don't do what they do. You separate yourself to God. It's separation to God. Holiness. Separation to God that is the theme of those 9 different things. That's the principle behind those 9 different things. It's not a literal followership of it, but it is the principle that is revealed. You understand what I'm talking about? So if you want us to follow that point literally, first of all, we need to go and find out by what authority do you make trouser man's wear. Because in Scotland, men wear skirt. It is the Bible the authority or culture? And in case you point to culture, you are still unrighteous. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? So can we allow the Holy Ghost to do his job? That's his job. I was on campus one time and God said, don't wear jeans again. Don't wear jeans. And then later, when I left campus, he said, you can wear your jeans. I didn't wear jeans on campus. And people knew that I wasn't wearing jeans. And then when they saw me, some guy saw me learn, I had Wrangler. Glory. They say, hey, Pastor Albasini, that's your own opinion. But when they stayed long, they discovered that I caught more fire. Even if anything changed, I had more fire. And I don't need to go on Facebook and say, now the Lord has said I should wear jeans. So that I can convince people and leave and help people to understand me. Please help me tell your neighbor, you are not my God.
How do we treat fellow believers who have been overdosed in the grace teachings? Call them to your house, sit them down, and do Bible study with them. Yes. Call them. Call them, do Bible study with them. That's all. Don't fight. Don't contend. Right? Can we check the scriptures? Can we check? The Bible says all scripture. I hope you know the time Paul was saying all scripture. The scripture then was Old Testament. I hope you are aware of that. He said all scripture. He was talking about Genesis to Malachi. And then one Joseph Prince comes out of nowhere. Meanwhile, go back into church history. This is not the first time there was a grace movement. It's not the first time. It's a spirit that keeps coming to plague the church. I am bothered about my situation in the sense that concerning savings, I have not been doing well. Savings? What did we teach this weekend that has to do savings? Alright. Anytime I try saving, this is always a situation that will come up. A prompting for me to give. Alright, let's attend to the brother. He has a, even though he's totally not in order because he's asking a question, not consider. You see, this is a proceeding, it's litigation. I don't know whether in court somebody can come and say, they are doing serious litigation. There's somebody say, this my recharge card is not loading. No, this my... Well, what's it called? What's it?
An abuse of court process.
Well, let's oblige this young man.
I need to tell you something, young man. When I was 12 years old, my dad traveled abroad, came back with two safes, a big safe and a small safe. And he said we should cast lot. When we casted lot, because we are many, for who we have the safes, I picked the big safe. So from that time, I began to save. I saved big sums of money. And when I finished saving, my mother normally comes and intimidates me and collects all the money. But what the safe did to me is that it made me have saving culture. Right? I can keep money. Then I came to the kingdom. When I started working, earning salary, I had a plan to save and then be doing my life because I knew how to save. Then when I saved the first chunk of money, he waited until it was 1 million. In fact, my salary was 60,000. I saved 1 million. Think about it. You, at least you should say I tried. 60K. I was transporting from it, I was eating from it, and then I saved, and I was able to save 1 million. And then after, yes, the X factor is the time. Took some time, actually. But when I arrived, 1 million, I wanted to give, the day I wanted to give a sigh of relief, he said, sow it. Now, why didn't he tell me, no need to save. Just be giving it small, small like that. The emotional wreck, the challenge, everything that happened. It took me years to save. And I was saving to marry. And I saved for many years to get 1 million. Then he said, sow it. Then I said, no! I said, you are not Kai. I got angry. But he kept telling me, save it. You talk small, save it. Save it.
Save.
Save. For 3 days. Until I was wearied. And even when I sold the money, it took me 2 weeks to give it. I had sold it, but it was still mine in my heart. I said, the only reason why it is dead is because you are stronger than me. It's not that I didn't give you. You intimidated me. After 2 weeks, then I saw my folly. Then I said, that's when I released him. God wants to save you, bro. How much are you giving? Saving. Are you saving up to 1 million? Huh? He won't answer now. Your own is not up to 1 million. You are saving nothing. So just give him, let him help you. Now, the important matter is that my wedding I was saving for, he sponsored it. Yes. We did the calculation of what we spent in the wedding. It was 6 point something million. How much did I save?
1 million.
Then after the wedding, I was given an air-conditioned vehicle from that wedding. How much did I save? I had vehicle with AC. I used to flow around this town with it. So if he's saying you should save, please save. I believe in growing up, not being complacent, but help me distinguish between yes, that one. I don't know what he's saying there. Okay. Questions are done. Hallelujah. This one came from the hall. Do we have two from the brethren online? There's the paper here. This one. Okay. In light of this study, sir, what exactly is sin? Okay. Who can answer this question? The word sin from the Greek is missing the mark. God is trying to establish his kingdom. Anything we do that misses the mark of his kingdom amounts to sin. It's a culture that is alien to the kingdom he has pioneered. That is what sin is. And unfortunately, sins there be that are of commission, and since there also be that of omission. Can the truth be polluted, sir? How can we perceive when it is polluted? The truth can be polluted. The truth is Christ and that which has derived from Christ. And the reason for which the devil may want to pollute the truth is so that we can accept another Jesus, we can receive another spirit, and we can believe another gospel. Sir, I need recap on the role of an evangelist. Who is this? I need recap on the role of an evangelist and what the core things Jesus preached. Grace or salvation?
Brother Matthew, can you start reading your Bible from the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Jesus did not preach in secret. He preached in the open, and it is in your Bible. So go and read it. You won't use my own study life to enhance yourself. Huh? Matthew, go and study. I once heard a pastor say, if you fall from faith, you fall on grace. Please x-ray this school of thought. If you fall from faith, fall on grace. Well, that, just like you will not want me to analyze a statement made by Larry King on CNN, this statement is also one of those New Age statements which is not worthy of being spoken of in a decent apostolic center like this. It's a worldly statement. It's a satanic statement. It's one of those statements that have come from delusion that has invaded the body of Christ when the pastor thinks that he is preaching good if he can make a rhyme out of his message. Your father is your ladder. Your this. Fall from faith, fall into grace, glory. You are already an imposter. I saw one guy on Facebook, he tried to do some rhymes, then he now put the thing there, then I just sent a message to him. This is not scripture. You have fallen out of scripture in trying to decorate your utterance. And you are saying something else, preaching something else entirely. And he got angry. Then I allowed him to cool. I have an answer for his anger. Let him cool from the anger first. Then I'll bring some scripture and say, this is the kind of utterance Satan himself made here and here. And you just gave voice to the thoughts of Satan. It's because I didn't define it first, that it was Satan's voice that speaks that way. So he was angry that we are trying to malign him. Then I will tell him what he's doing properly. If you did not want people to criticize it, to look at it, you could have written it in your diary in the village. If it goes up, somebody might see it and believe. So we are gatekeepers. Anything that people can draw belief that is fake, we put our own stamp there, signature. Invalid. How can one host continual fellowship with the Holy Ghost all day? I think I answered that question. This is Nana from Ghana. Nana from Ghana starts by speaking in tongues and then wait to see the windows that the Holy Spirit will open. Enter through the gate that He makes available. You know, the Bible says, open the gates that the righteous nation that keepeth the truth might enter in. He opens it for the righteous nation. And then you enter into that gate. And then you stay there and continue there and be established there until He gives you another line of action. That's the way of fellowship. It is driven by the Spirit of God Himself. Meanwhile, your fellowship life is different from your prayer life. Your fellowship life should be a result of your prayer life. You should have prayed before you enter into cruise mode, which is, you can fellowship throughout the day if you have prayed and your spiritual batteries on full bar. You're already up in cruise and wait for the windows and stay in the windows and wait for His promptings. The way these great preachers have been talking, saying that all the way these great preachers have been taught, you are saying that all they say is wrong, looking at the general scope. Do you now mean we should not listen to them? This is, of course, that is what I mean, sir. I have made that emphatically clear. In fact, I'm going to generate a list of people you should not listen to. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm not doing it in the flesh. I'm doing it by calling. I have the anointing and the calling to do this. It's one of my functions in the body of Christ. I'm saying stop listening to them. It's because you are listening to them
brother from Uma here. Because you are listening to them that you are the way you are. Me, I'm not like that. Look for a grace preacher. Look for them. Look for. You. There's one symptom. I don't want to go into personal issues. There are some symptoms you will notice about. I've told you some of the things that happen. The guy will go to a guy and say, I marry you. The guy will say, I marry you. Then they pack, move into an apartment, start staying together. But from the beginning, Jesus died for the sins of our past sins, present sins, future sins. There's nothing, in fact, sin does not exist. Sin is a mindset. It's a mindset. I went to a conference the other day. They said the devil does not exist. Just believe he doesn't exist and he will not exist in your life. Glory! Glory to God! Glory! 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 Satan does not. I don't know. People are locked up with this Satan thing. He doesn't exist. And that's supposed to be a minister's conference, a Christian minister's conference. In such a conference, the way you leave, you leave the conference, you hold your Bible like this, and then leave in slow motion. Say he does not exist. Say he doesn't exist, and he doesn't exist. When Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh." Hallelujah. So, bro, I'm actually saying stop listening to them. They are preaching a gospel of perdition. And that's why we're laboring to ensure that the body of Christ in the wider scope comes to stumble upon the things we are teaching. And I'm not the only one that is accurate. Just like I said, there are some support counselors that I had to consult in order for me to come up. Just to show you that I'm not the best. I'm not. And there are many people doing what I'm doing too, that have license to do what I'm doing. Some of them are even better in scripture than I am. But the war has begun, and I'm part of it. And I'll keep fighting until... That's how this thing rose the other day. Somebody said he went to hell and saw Jesus prophesied in hell. And he came back with prophecy. All I did was Bible study for 3 days. And that's my most widely circulated sermon in the world. And you know what? After that, our sermon, 2 months later, the move died. And then the man called, looked for my phone number. I don't know how they got it. They began to insult me that I'm cursed. Because while people were buying the books, they were buying cars and buying lands in Abuja. Then I came and support business. Of darkness. It was just a Bible study. One weekend Bible study ended that madness. Hallelujah. The movement was strong in Calabar. I went to Calabar, so we just dropped the sermon. They dropped the sermon. In fact, Scripture Union, you know Scripture Union? They had to call me to pray for me. But this work you are doing continue. So we have labeled that sermon classic. What is the difference between having fellowship, just our practice, and praying in tongues? Gumi, you have not been following. I say you start with tongues. You see, when you finish your prayer, you are already on an altitude, 60,000 feet above sea level. All right? Don't waste that height. That height makes you strategic. Don't waste it. So when you're up there and you leave the prayer meeting, maintain your own tongue. Just be sensitive. Be focused. He will open a window. I've sang songs. You know, I travel a lot. I've sang one song for 4 hours before. And the Holy Ghost was so excited. He didn't change the program. I was there for 4 hours. Just singing out. Nobody heard me. I was singing it to myself. Just enjoyed it. And when I came to the meeting, I came late. So we moved from the park to the place. Guess what happened? As I entered into the place, he was excited in my spirit. He was excited. Then I said, okay, I've entered where to preach to. Yeah. Can you help me understand this place? He said, there's somebody that was sent from River Niger to come and attack you here. I said, if not that I was in this, was in fellowship, I wouldn't have known. So I knew that. I said, can you tell me where the person is? He said, when you continue, you will know. I said, Jesus. Then I started preaching. Started preaching. Then I stopped. I said, there's an agent of the devil from River Niger here. And you are unfortunate to be here. Then as I gave that word, the woman began to manifest. And you need to see how she was manifesting. Not like a small snake, like the big ones. I was in fellowship with him when I entered. I was flowing with him. So it became natural for him to unveil things. They have been sending that woman to that church for. In fact, the pastor's wife was killed. That is before I came. They just buried the pastor's wife. And there was no discernment in the congregation. Then I saw many agents of the devil in that place. I saw crisis. I saw that they had buried like 4 or 5 people before I came, including the pastor's wife. And it all came from River Niger. That day, the power of God that came that day left people afraid of God. But it was because I was already in tune with him before I showed up. There's no formula. I'm just telling you, pray in tongues. When you gain that altitude, wait for the protocol. If it drops a song, take the song. If it drops a scripture, take the scripture. Begin to quote it. Many other things will open. Anything he drops, use it. Don't have more confidence in your fleshly tongue praying than the window that the Holy Ghost opens. Most people, when he opens the window, they avoid it and stay in tongue and speak it. They are speaking in tongue. You will remain on ground level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, when you start going up, then the light, you will see many things in light when you come down. And then somebody comes to threaten you. You look at him. You say, he doesn't know what he's fighting. Hallelujah. Oh, Chidon, you remember we're praying here. Then one guy that came like that. And I told him that you have already crossed the mark. Life has been taken from you. Life. Have you seen him since then? Now, I don't do that. I'm not a violent person. No, I'm not a violent person. Right? I believe that I'm even too tender. I believe so. And I've never entered that mode before. Not because people have not done things worse than that. But that day, the spirit, I was in fellowship. And the spirit that rose that day was a judge. Do you understand it? Now, we don't do it in the flesh. That mountain of fire prayer, is only valid when the spirit rises as a judge. It's not something you pray in the flesh. Say, we'll make a book for that prayer. That is you are going into satanism. You are gliding. That last bus stop for becoming an ezemo. You don't. It's the Holy Ghost that rises as a spirit of judgment. Not because you are like that by nature. No. We have met with witches before. He did not judge them. He wasn't judging them in our spirit. Because it was not time for them to be judged. And then we now met with that man. And suddenly, he came out. You have crossed the mark. And life is taken. His friends came to beg in the office. They beg. I said, let them go. But you see, what the friends didn't understand is that the word has gone and it will not return void.
You see, they would have done the begging before the utterance, not after. Because if it goes forth, I don't have the capacity under any form of anointing to retrieve it. Do you understand it? He can become anything through your spirit. Just be sensitive. If you are in fellowship with him, you will know what he is doing part time. Sometimes he's a revealer, sometimes he's a judge, sometimes he's a healer, sometimes you will know what he's doing part time. This is not stereotype. You will know what he's doing part time. Can we ask him before we break camp this morning? We'll come back for 4 o'clock to take a flight by 4 p.m. But I want to ask him to grant us the opportunity to be intimate with him. Grant us the opportunity to be intimate with him. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to be intimate. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you, Lord. Help me to know you. 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 My toes are malebraskila bahamba hasket. Heal my perception. Heal my ears. In the spirit. Heal my eyes. In the spirit. Heal my eyes in the spirit. Heal my ears in the spirit. Cause me to be able to perceive the promptings that you lay upon my heart. To read the signs with which you intend to communicate with me. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you. I do not know the secrets of my life. There are many mysteries around me. I don't know who to marry. I don't know when I will marry. It's a problem to me. These are issues that I cannot solve myself. I want to ask for help. It's obvious I'm full of potential. But without direction, my potential will get spoiled, will get totally wasted. Can you lead me? Can you hold me by the hand? Can you guide me? Can you guide me? Can you guide me? I want to know you. Let nothing tamper with your organic life with him. The impressions. When he's grieved, don't trivialize it. When he walks away, run after him. He is the sufficiency. We are insufficiency. Kuma sande la munda liga. I told the Leske Branda Bakuri Mahandani Robena Santomina Kadia Mahandani Mahansolete Kabarate Maski. Do you feel that you have strayed? Do you feel that he is far? You can't touch him, you can't feel him. Can you bridge the gap? Can you ask him to bridge the gap by his mercy? Voice of the Lord, the Bible says, is upon many nations. It's upon the waters. The voice of the Lord. That voice must be factored and figured in your heart too. For in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Open the door, the corridor. The gate that we might enter and see the great and the mighty things of which we do not know. Grant us access
Grant us grace. Hombre samantala baboria hazemalai. Do not allow the devil to win the argument of your life. He keeps coming to whisper how that you are defeated, how that you are good for nothing, how that you can achieve nothing, you can attain to nothing. That's the position of a liar. The devil does not have the capacity to say the truth, because the truth is not a statement of fact. The truth is a person, the person of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. No saleku marahandali makadi. Subria kaske sondele here maski. Aito malaham raska, ikabaske bosa mante preske sesedita halabata manta. That sweet moment in the closet will be restored. Moments of fire, moments of light, so that we'll be able to walk in the light. And everything that the light makes manifest, we will confess, so that we will be upgraded. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 The Holy Ghost is full of songs, full of spontaneous activity. He opens many doors, he releases many streams. Oh, that we may know Him, and the quietness of His person manifesting in His song within the souls of men. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. You can be in a physical prison but not be depressed, because He bubbles in you with songs, songs of Zion, songs of liberation. He said, by the river Kaba, we sat there. We hung our harps there. Our captors required of us one of the sons of Zion. That was the day they robbed God of an opportunity to break forth upon His enemies. The man of fellowship becomes a psalmist, a singer of songs, a singer of hymns, of psalms, of spiritual songs, giving glory to God. Such is the way of the Spirit. You may rise on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Ushers. Okay, I forgot. Ushers.
Go with your offering basket as we close. You learn how to stay there. Do what he wants. Fellowship is about doing what he wants. Do what he wants. Say what he wants. Fellowship is about him. Can we have such a heart that is devoted to make him joyful, to make him happy? To make him happy.
Hallelujah. 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 Upana habelesa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sumaya mama lemeni. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Abba Bedekina. Hallelujah.
Fellowship. Moment of many songs. Songs of the Spirit. Mutterings many times that cannot be uttered.
Hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, oh.
Under that climate, it will be easy for you to hear him.
Hallelujah.
Because your heart has gone out to him.
Sold
out. The only agenda is him and his glory.
Hallelujah.
It takes residence in the midst of his praises. Builds his throne. Releases his words.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
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 And hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. You know what? If you leave and you go to your closet, and you keep singing this song, just because you're on cruise mode now, you keep singing. You will see great and mighty things that you never knew. That's how we found our path. We kindled the fire before his presence and gave him the kind of worship that he wants. A fire of songs, a fire of psalms, hymns, fire of great glory. Ah, you see, his presence comes. His presence comes. His presence comes strong. His presence comes. You will not ask for his presence. It will come. It comes strong. It comes strong. It comes strong. It comes strong. It comes. It comes. It comes. It comes. It comes. It comes. Then he begins to deliver. He begins to do all kinds of stuff.
Because I'm seeing remove a ring. He's removing a ring from a lady. There's a ring, a lady here. You have a ring. And he's removing that ring. Removing it. See, he begins to deliver. Then he begins to do all kinds of stuff. You see, not because it's a miracle meeting. Because we just... Any believer can do what we do. Any. We are not doing it because we are great people, strong people. We are doing it because he is great. He is strong. If you can give him attention, it will flood your heart with light. You will know what next step to take. You will know what to do. See, he has just broken a yoke off a sister's life. Now, as I speak, he has broken. So, your own business is get him on stage. Get him. Get him out of the heavens and let him come on stage. And then that day is blessed. That day becomes blessed. Now, I don't want to take our time. Because I won't press it. I won't drag him to go further. Every time he comes upon a scene, a man gave him room. And that which you think is impossible in your life, he will surprise you. Just in case you came and you believe your own case is impossible. In fact, for many of you in that situation, before the year comes to an end, you'll begin to see the symptoms of your journey out of what you consider to be your predicament. Sunday night will be Holy Ghost night. We will not be teaching on Sunday night. We'll climb, gain ascendancy, so that everyone can have his own portion. Sunday. But we need to kill this disease. Right? We still have one more evening for teaching. But if you forget anything, you need to cultivate an attitude of fellowship. Now those songs I sang, he sang it inside of me. Then I began to voice it. He's singing it inside of me because that's the song they are singing in heaven. And when heaven and earth fuses in harmony, then functionaries of heaven and angels will be able to be convenient here as they are in their own frame of reference. Then supernatural things begin to happen. He begins to open our spiritual senses to perceive things beyond the judgment of the eyes, the hearing of the ears. It's not, oh my God. God is simple to find. He's simple. We are not powerful people. We are just following him. You see, he's opening somebody's ears. He's opening somebody's ears. Now, Mahate Koba. Ila Mahate. Help me one more time. Just one more. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Now there are like four to six people that God wants to do something on your ear so that you can hear him clearly and start hearing him clearly, and it will be so clear that you will think it is audible. There are some waves of impartation that will be passing through your body. Waves. 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 Waves of impartation to be passing through your body. Waves from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. There are about 4 to 6 of them. Waves. 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 Waves passing. Waves passing through your body. Waves. Waves! Waves!
Now, all of those that I did is by spiritual senses. I saw the waves coming. Waves. It's working on your hearing. It's working on it. Waves of fire. There are waves. Now, we can't stay much longer. If we stay, then it will now begin to multiply. So we need to close. Hallelujah. 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 Now, see, I'm seeing somebody here. Your employment letter was signed. It's already signed, right? But there is somebody sitting on it. Your employment letter has been signed. Somebody sitting on it. That seat, the person is sitting, will become so hot as if a fire is kindled on the seat, and it will become difficult for the person to continue sitting for 2 weeks. If the person wants to still sit, then the person will need to give you your letter. So, congratulations, in 2 weeks' time, you will receive some feedback. Some feedback. 14 days time received. So the seat will be too hot to continue. And if we continue, it keeps going. Just because he has led us through the gates. The things that are impossible become possible. You can have this time alone like this in your closet if you can allow him superintend the worship protocol. That's what you can see. Sometimes he gets so excited, he comes like that to your spirit and he allows you to see his face. I've seen him many times like that. The vista of my spirit. See me. See. What? You are the one. Hallelujah. And then when I finish seeing that, then somebody say, I will deal with you, a human being. I will look at you and say, you deal with me. You made a mistake. Because I'm close to him now. If it was when I was not close, if you do that, he will go free. But now he will chase you. He will torment you. Because you said, you become a threat to your enemies. Your enemies are afraid of you. Just because you have found a place in his courts. Don't allow any man make you forsake your life of fellowship. In fact, Paul said, if any other person or us ourselves preach another gospel, let a curse be upon him. We'll come back by 4 p.m. But don't forget the song. Just keep the song. It's yours. God bless you in the name of Jesus. 4 p.m. We'll make life and power available and we will gain ascendancy. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Hope you were blessed. For more of Apostle Aramis' sermon, visit rcnsermons.org. God bless you.